presenting a new exciting radio program featuring the thrilling adventures of an amazing and incredible personality.
Outrageous! Banded together from remote galaxies.
Let's go, 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 go!
You're listening to episode 150 dramatic pause of the Let's Go Comic Show, where we talk about comics, comic movies, comic TV shows, everything in the world of comics, part of the Let's Go Podcast Network, pop culture without the pop. My name is Justin.
And I'm Matt.
All right, Matt, how did you
all
like?
Right.
All right. Oh, yeah. How did you like my dramatic pause?
It was a good, I think it was good to try it on.
And was
see,
it?
See how it feels.
Was it Shatner-y? Did it give you a little bit of like, hey, that's some Shatner pause? Or was it an Adam West pause?
It's just kind of Shatner.
Just Shatting it out there? Shatnering?
Yeah, it was a little bit like in the 150.
150.
Maybe a little Adam West in little there.
Yeah, so I was thinking like they both had some interesting pauses. Robin?
Miss Kitka.
Miss Kitka? No. What? Our dreams, but a blueprint for adventure. That's my terrible Adam West. They're like, hey, we need someone to do Adam West. Not you.
So, not you. Not me.
Not me. That's cool. That's cool. So how was your day? Do anything super nerdy today? It's Wednesday.
I did. I actually went to the comic book shop.
Oh, man, that's super. That. So you're such a nerd, dude.
I am. Don't want to brag or anything, but I'm pretty nerdy.
I did, too. It's my first time literally at the shop since March.
Oh man.
And they got rid of like half the books that I did not buy.
Which for your poll.
I'm not mad. Yeah, I'm not mad. I was little
for that money, dude.
No, I know. But it's like, oh dang, you got rid of my bat, because I know there's gonna be like a hot Batman issue in there. I think like the first appearance of not Harley Quinn. What's her name? Jackpot? No. What the heck's her name again? Hairpin, what's her name?
Punchline. I just wanted you to go through a few more. Sappy, Swami.
Well, like in this issue of Batman, like Harley Quinn does the same thing. Like, what's her face? Yeah, I told you. Anyways, I know everyone's like going nuts for that issue. Like, I don't really care for the character, but I just don't mess my run up, my books.
I've got that solid run.
I got a pretty complete Batman run. I have a few from issue 400 to now. So I got a few little gaps.
You gonna keep going all the way to issue 100 or whatever?
Yeah, I hope when they hit 100, they just fold it back into the original, like numbers.
Mm.
But then we'd be at like 100, and then New 52 went to 50, I think. And there's some zero issues thrown in there, and then add that on to the 7 something. So once it hits Batman, guarantee when it's Batman 1000, they're gonna be like 1000 issues of Batman. They'll do it. They'll pull a Marvel. And I'm here for it. I'm good.
To show some really like questionable math on how they got there.
Well, they did that with, I think they did that with Spider-Man too.
They did.
They threw the superior Spider-Man in there. I was like, oh, I wouldn't have done that. But okay.
Sure.
That works. There's whatever works
Spider-Man.
For you. Yeah, but it wasn't the Amazing Spider-Man. That has to be an Amazing Spider-Man book. So I'm still not happy about that. But I'm over it. I'm good. I'm good.
What about you? So, have you done anything else nerdy today?
Yeah. I watched Daredevil, man. I finished it up.
The Netflix show?
Not the amazing Netflix show, but the 2003? Is it 03? Yeah, 2003 Ben Affleck.
John Favreau.
Oh, man. I'll say this. He's hands down the best part of that movie, John Favreau. You're just like, oh, he's
pretty fantastic.
Yeah. So I watched it with my son, my oldest son. And I was like, I think he can watch this. And it was pretty okay. There was a few things.
It was pretty okay.
He's all, yeah, Dad, he threw a stick inside of him. But he's like, why is Happy in this? Oh, I'm happy. Happy
oh,
Hogan.
Yes.
I'm all, yeah, dude. So he's all, oh, so he's like Human Torch and Captain America. I'm like, yep, he's in a special twofer club, you know?
Yeah, that's true.
He's got his bones in two different Marvel universes, so. Yeah. So, anywho, this movie, dude, it's interesting watching it because, The one thing I noticed, it could be a drinking game if that was something that you found interesting. Whoa, sorry, I just completely knocked. Did you hear that? I just knocked something down on my shelf.
Yeah, you just walking over all those empty beer cans in your office.
No, it was a penguin car from McDonald's. It just fell.
Oh, no.
See? Back from 92.
Penguin.
It's in his old duckmobile. Anyway, sorry. Total distraction there. How nerdy of a distraction was that? My Happy Meal premium for 92 fell down. So every time Daredevil, like this, again, this was the drinking game I was talking about. Every time Daredevil does some type of a flip and lands on the ground, they pan up from his boots. They shows his boots and it just kind of pans up to show his full suit off. He's got a lot of buckles on his boots too. Tons of buckles. Like, man, this guy's blind. Why are you going to give him all these buckles? Like, give him some zip-ups.
Streamline that.
Yeah, zip those things up. But it's interesting. The suit's not a terrible-looking suit, you know? I don't think it's awful. Like, and when it comes to comic book suits, originally That's they true. Made it black, though. They made it black with he had, like kind of ropes to tie his mask on. And you can see it in some scenes, like when he's fighting in some bar. I'm like, oh, his suit is totally black there. They're trying to color it, but
interesting.
They changed it. They changed it through production. Anyways, movie's pretty whatever, dude. A lot of Evanescence. There's a whole scene. I totally forgot. I was laughing because there's Elektra and she's training. She's getting ready to go after Daredevil because she thinks he's
just like, wake me up.
Yeah, yeah. It's all, can't wake up. You know, but it's like a music video.
Same
like,
man.
She's moving all slow motion with her side. I'm like, why are you in this room by yourself? Like posing, you know, very still. I mean, she could have been harvesting her chi to fight, I don't know, Iron Fist stuff.
How believable like, of an Elektra do you feel like Jennifer Garner was?
You know, I ain't going to hate on her moves because she was very physical. You know, she was doing Alias and stuff at the time. So, like, she looked in shape. You know, she was she was ready to... I wouldn't want to fight her. She looked like she could handle herself.
Yeah.
But she definitely doesn't look like Elektra to me. You know, like, you're not Elektra. And she definitely didn't act like Elektra. This Elektra's a little more like, oh, we're going to cause a ruckus. And this girl was not going to cause a ruckus. But in this scene, there's a part where she's, like, training and... She's by herself, right?
Is that
but
the
all
playground
of a sudden,
one?
No. That's when they first meet. Which, okay. Yeah, it's a whole other thing. But she's in this warehouse or training room. I don't know where she's at. But it's very dark and there's candles, a lot of draperies. And then all of a sudden, these ropes start dropping with like sandbags attached to them. And I'm like, who's letting these things go? I was like, what is going on here? And then like one of them has a devil face on it.
She's just throwing, to stab.
Yeah, and she's throwing like size at him and just tossing him, and she's flipping. And then it intercuts like Daredevil getting ready again, which I swear it's like the same stuff from another scene earlier, just him zipping up his shirt and putting his boots on and his
like
buckles.
All those shots from like Batman Forever.
Yeah, except, you know, they passed over the derriere.
They didn't have the butt shot. The Daredevil.
Anyways, so yeah, I watched that and... you know, Colin Farrell is just corny as heck. But, he does a lot of cape whipping with his jacket. Like, whoosh, every time he does something, he, like, touches that bullseye, which is terrible. I remember in the comics, they tried to bring that in. Like, there was this...
The forehead bullseye?
Yeah. It was called The Target. And I think it was Joe Quesada, and I think it was Kevin Smith who wrote it. And I don't even think that issue 2 ever came out. I think they just wrote this issue, but
that good,
they
huh?
have Daredevil carves the bullseye in his head.
Yikes.
Yeah, I remember that. I was like, Daredevil's just got a pretty consistent run of comics, but that issue and then the weird miniseries from like a year or so back. But other than that, Daredevil's been a great comic.
They didn't have Jon Favreau. Yeah, that was the main issue. That's what held
Jon
up issue 2.
That comic. He's so good. He's oh shoot. He's just so mad that like they don't take money for other cases.
Oh yeah.
How he just gets all upset. You know, he says something like he doesn't like shake his ass to pay the bills or something like that because everyone's paying him. And Fluke, he's all, you know what he paid us with? Fluke. He's all. It's so good. Anyways, yeah. All the scenes with Foggy are fantastic. They should just do a supercut of all the Foggy scenes. And you're like, man, it's probably a great movie.
Yeah.
Then you watch it and you're like, ah. Oh,
not that great.
I don't know. It's not bad. It's definitely early 2000s, though. Like, a lot
of... It's not really
a lot of
good, though.
No, yeah, they're CGI. They're like, ooh, we know how to use CGI. So all of a sudden, like, Daredevil is just flipping around, dude. He looks more like a pancake. He looks like Woody in Toy Story, like, falling off the bed. Just the way he just kind of falls. Blank, blank, blank. But, yeah, even my son's old dad, there's a lot of CGI in this movie. And everyone jumps, like, 20 feet in the air. Like, no one... They're like, they're in the church fight, and, like, Bullseye and Daredevil are just...
Like, Kingpin jumping, like, 20 feet in the air.
Oh, yeah. No, that would have been great. Yeah. The fight with, you know what? Michael Clark Duncan, he was pretty good. Physically.
I liked him as Kingpin. Like, I liked that casting.
He didn't have a lot to do. Mm-hmm. He was just kind of like, he was in like four scenes.
Yeah, that's true.
He talked like this a lot. The blind lawyer from Hell's Kitchen. And he just laughs. Ha, ha, ha. Here's a rose. Anyway, so yeah, that's what I did. Daredevil. Go watch it.
Nice.
Gotta go. That's my rating. So, speaking of ratings, funny. Matt, what's our ratings?
We use the Let's Go rating system. The best rating we give is a Gotta Go.
Yeah.
Next best is a Let's Go.
Yeah.
The next best after that is...
The next best. It's not as good. Yeah.
Middle
of the road.
A little worse than that is a Don't Go.
Yeah,
and a little worse than that is a trash juice.
Yeah, speaking of trash juice, so Chris reviews Batman, and Batman 96 did not get a favorable review. I don't think we've ever given a trash juice for a comic, but Mark today.
I feel like Mike did that with one of the ones he reviewed.
Oh, maybe he did. I'm going to have to look. I think maybe he gave like Ant-Man 3 or something like that, some trash juice. We're gonna have to find out. Stay tuned, folks. We'll let you know. But regardless, Batman 96 did not get any love from Chris. He's like, he's had it. I remember when he read it, he was like, what are you thinking about that intro scene? And I didn't know what to think yet because I didn't read it yet. And I got what he was saying. Yeah. I don't know.
I actually haven't been keeping up on this run.
Ooh, yee. Well, you know what we're going to do anyway. So it's our 150th episode. We wanted to keep it at its roots. What's our true loves besides Daredevil, Batman movies? Sorry, Daredevil, Ben Affleck movies. A little fruity.
Batman's always sneaking in there.
Yeah, he's like, hey. We're going to talk about some floppies. We are going to smell the mother flipping floppies, dude. How you feeling about
that, Matt?
We're
going to smell some floppies.
We're going to smell some floppies.
I'm excited. It's a good size week as far as like it's been pretty slow. For the most part, the last couple months, and I felt like it was a pretty big week.
Comic-Con had nothing for us. If you listen to last week's episode, not a lot going on there,
lots
guys.
Lots of news to check out.
A lot of news, a lot of stuff. So, yeah, man, so let's just jump into comics. What do you want to touch on first, man?
Ooh.
Matt, you get to pick.
What I just, most recently, before we hit record, I just finished catching up on Deceased.
Yeah.
Dead Planet.
That is a comic right there.
Have you kept up on that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, there's only two issues in, so.
Well, I know, but I'm still keeping up.
I know. <yeah. clears throat> that's a fair thing to say to me because sometimes
I'm like, just like the first run, the first series of Deceased.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Tom Taylor is hitting a lot of the same kind of marks, just kind of bringing some really cool character moments, lots of heart, and then just freaking like ripping that heart out of whatever chest it's in.
That's so gross.
It's true though.
Yeah.
No, that's what he's doing. But yeah, it was cool to be able to catch up on it cause I was a little late to issue one. So reading both of them back to back, I was like, what the heck? Like he just has such crazy over-the-top ideas. I feel like it's very much in the realm of like when you have really big ideas by guys like Scott Snyder or Tom King, where you're like, whoa, that's like really a crazy off-the-wall idea. And I think it's fun to see it in this context, especially when it's something that's not mainline continuity. So he can really like kind of dig in on stuff and like, well, that character is dead.
I think that's where he's comfortable. I think he likes to go a little nuts. Like, let me just control what I'm going to do. Because that way he's not bound by any type of continuity. I mean, he leans into continuity that we're familiar with, but he's not like, oh, I don't have to worry about what's happening next issue in Batman because in my world, Batman's, you know, dead. It's Damian Wayne's Batman, so, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's cool to pick up and see, like, okay, like, here's the characters from the last run and, like, where they're at. And so you have Jonathan Kent, you have Damian Wayne, you have Dinah Lance as Green Lantern.
Which I think is cool.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah.
Green Canary. That just seems weirder. Green Canary Lantern.
Like the Blue Beetle. Right? That's a joke from Justice League International. No one got it.
Sorry about that. I'm sure someone did. Someone laughed somewhere.
Ted Kord is telling Batman real quick. He's all, you should have the ring. Then he's like, yeah, no one would buy a superhero called the Green Batman. And he's all kind of like the Blue Beetle. Sick burn, Batman. Sick burn.
I do like that we're getting some payoff and some tie-in in this book to the deceased Unkillables, too. Like that everything's kind of like has a through line, too.
Yeah.
I appreciated that in issue, too. But, man, if we could talk, a spoiler, that blood moat that wasn't a blood moat.
Oh, shoot,
was
dude.
So messed up.
Yeah, that was
like
that
so
was,
messed up. Like, whew.
That was actually really gross. I was like, oh, dang. And then it was gruesome, dude. So spoilers, guys. If you haven't read Deceased,
you should check it out.
Dead Planet.
We completely ruined this issue for you.
Yeah, so pause this, read this, because we're going to talk about this, because it was kind of twisted. And again, you know, Tom Taylor just does whatever he wants, because that's the cool thing with no chains. You can just go nuts. You know,
it's true.
And he digs deep and he does some, like, in the beginning we have, again, another spoiler, Arsenal just gets, you know, zombie burned out by fire. Like, we haven't seen fire in forever. I'm like, oh shoot, there's fire. And she takes out Arsenal,
completely just burns alive.
Yeah, like, just crazy. And then that's when, like, the Shadow Pact people show up, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Or is that what they're calling themselves?
They're calling themselves Shadow Pact. Swamp Thing shows up, and my favorite thing that Swamp Thing does is he tells John Constantine to shut the F up.
Yeah, and they're like, what?
And they're like, whoa, did Swamp Thing just...
Yeah.
That was pretty great. No, but I'm talking about, like, they are checking out this other area, which in any horror movie... You know, it's not a good idea.
Yep.
But they do it anyway, and they split up, which you should never do in a horror story.
Never do that.
And they're like, oh, we'll just float over this blood moat. And then they're like, oh, wait. Oh, it's not blood. What? No, it's not blood. It's
who is it, Matt?
Zombie Plastic Man.
Oh!
A moat filled with Zombie Plastic Man, and he just kills pretty much all of them.
Yeah. It was pretty brutal, man.
Whew.
Yeah. Again, because... You know, as you read a book like this, you're going to have some familiarity with the characters. You're like, oh, there's, you know, like the one that got me is like, oh, there's Zatanna, right? You know, like it's Constantine and it's Zatanna. And you're like, those are the ones, right? You know,
those are the heavy hitters of Shadow Pact, you know?
Yeah. And dude, she gets Jack. Oh, and Dr. Fate too, you know?
Yeah.
And so
Dr. Fate is okay though. He's not part of Shadow Pact.
Yeah. But, like, you know, I'm just thinking, like, all the characters that are in this book.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Sorry. My brain's flipping around because I don't have the book. But
no,
I'm,
it's fine.
I'm thinking,
because,
like,
you mean you
characters.
Have, like,
but,
Mary Marvel's in there. You have...
Yeah, you got all these characters and, like, no, you don't know who's safe. So, like, if you get... So, my point being, like, with you get, like, Zatanna, like, oh, shoot, you know, she's not safe. You know, and so as you're thinking of these other characters that are the Poison Ivy... what the heck do they call it? There was the different forests across the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was, you know, kind of a safe spot. And everyone kind of, you know, you got Red Hood meeting up with Damian Wayne, like, hey, Hugs, you know, you deserve this, whatever. But, like, it was cool, you know. But you got, like, Poison Ivy being, you can't keep Green Arrow here. Like, you got to get rid of him, you know.
Yeah.
She's not having Black Canary with her, like, zombie boyfriend, you know, and he's infected with the Omega, like, disease.
But, I mean, supposedly... According to Cyborg, there's a cure.
Yeah, and all he has is his little head. So they're like, figure it out.
Yeah, and apparently next issue there's a greater evil. It's people inside whatever that second garden is just looking on as people get killed. So
yeah, okay, so this garden, what do you think that second garden is?
I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think, like, Australia. I love that, like, he had, cracks jokes about it, too, since Tom Taylor is Australian. Which is kind of fun. Like, John Constantine was like, even before there were zombies, that place was too dangerous or something like that. Yeah. Like, that's funny.
Yeah. So
I don't know. It says, like, they sense the souls of the people in the bunker. Many are wicked, but there are innocents, too. What Ragman was saying.
Yeah.
And so I can't make out much from the silhouettes they have in that last kind of little panel. But I'm guessing some more villains, like, survived, would be my guess.
Yeah, I'm like, who's in this other garden? I couldn't... Yeah, I got no clue, dude. But yeah, but back to the Plastic Man thing.
Oof.
That was crazy, dude.
Yeah, that was rough. Crazy. That was rough.
Yeah. So we lose Detective Chimp. We lose Ragman.
Yeah, Detective Chimp, Constantine, and Swamp Thing are kind of falling into the mouth of Plastic Man on the last page. So we haven't officially lost those three. But we got Blue Devil, Ragman... And Zatanna.
Yeah. You don't think Detective Chimp's gone?
I mean, he's still in one piece, at least so far, on this. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
That'd be unfortunate. Well, I think Detective Chimp is really a fun character.
Well, Mike thinks he's gone. Mike reviewed the issue for us, and Mike's just like, heads up, he's dead. I'm like, well, maybe? But, like, the whole, like, that last page, if there's, like, Blue Devil's eyeballs, like, floating in the air.
So gross.
Like, what did he write? Like, he's like, all right, man, have Plastic Man, like, just shove, like, a tendril, basically, into Blue Devil's mouth and pop his eyeballs out. It's brutal, man. It's so brutal.
But but like the first series of Deceased, like, you have some really awesome character moments. Like, there is some true superheroics, and there's some great interactions, and there's some good heart there. And so I think that combination of things is what makes him such a compelling writer and storyteller.
Well, yeah, and that's what I loved about him on Injustice, too. Again, like, his Injustice was incredible. Like, you think, this video game? Yeah, but he did such just a phenomenal job on that. So again, he just cuts loose. He doesn't have to tie into anything. He ties into what, like, you may, like, make you comfortable and, like, you know, like, oh, I know this about these characters, and then he flips it, or he adds really great wrinkles. Like, I mentioned it before, my favorite thing in the Injustice books is he has Harley Quinn and Green Arrow. They kind of have a friendship, and she makes fun of him because he has an arrow cave, and she's like, you should call it the Quiver, and he's like, that's actually a really good idea, you know. Like, just, it's like his commentary on, like, the ridiculousness of Green Arrow copying Batman and all things. And just,
oh, totally.
Anyways, he's such a good storyteller, and he's good at, like, you know, taking your familiar things and hurting you.
And I think an extra layer on top of that is, I just read an interview with him the beginning of this week, because he launched the other digital first series, Injustice Year Zero, this week. And he talked about how he spoke with his editor at DC, and that he intentionally wanted to do something, to create something that was readily accessible and available to people that either weren't able to or weren't comfortable with getting to their local shops, so that there's still, like, comics to read.
Yeah.
And so that's where they came up with Deceased Hope at World's End.
Yeah.
Right? That's his other digital first series.
Yeah, and that's, like, between. That's like you know, Damian Wayne and Connor. Not Connor, sorry. Jonathan and it's Cassie.
You, sir.
Sorry. I know. It's hard, man. There's so many of these Superboys running around.
I know.
But I've read two of those, and they're really fun. I just haven't caught up on it.
So the fact that he has this intentionality as a writer, too, like, he's thinking not only of the stories he wants to tell, but he's trying to, like, make stuff accessible to people in that special way, I think is really cool.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's, I think, just an added layer of respect, like, I have for him.
Much respect.
Anyway, we're not talking about the digital first books. We're talking about Deceased.
We are not.
Dead Planet number 2.
Yeah.
Which we've talked about all the writing and the cool moments. The art is by Trevor hair scene.
Yeah.
I'm going
to... Not on Twitter.
Confidently say that name that way.
Yeah.
That is not as consistently good as the rest of the book for me. Like, it doesn't quite carry the same weight as the writing, but it's not, like, bad. It doesn't distract me necessarily, but for me, it's just not lining up.
Yeah, when he needs to, like that page we were talking about, it's gruesome, like, where eyeballs are popping out. But some of his pages, I feel like they're a little less rendered. They're a little loose. Mm-hmm. Like, if it was backgrounds, I'd be okay. But it's, like, people that are in the foreground, and I'm like, yeah, you need to finish that one out. And I don't know if it's the inker, you know. I don't know if it's just that's his style. But I feel like for a story like this, you got to be tighter on your pencils, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying you got to be, you know, Jim Lee, but you got to be... You have to evoke the archetype of the character, because you're using all the main characters here. They've got to look good, you know. They can't look sloppy, because sometimes this Wonder Woman wasn't looking so great, you know.
Totally. There were some proportions that seemed weird. I think most of the time, is what looked weird.
A lot of long limbs, but mm-hmm. it's good. Again, he's a good artist, and obviously. You know, they're using him again. This is a high-profile book for DC. I mean, this is a sequel to last year. So they believe in him. They're behind him. I'm sure, you know, Tom Taylor's like, no, this is my guy. He fits a horror story well, and maybe that's more of his background then. I don't know too much about him, but I think he definitely should tighten up some of his character work is all. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. I mean, what do you... Yeah. So I give this... issue a let's go. I think it's totally worth reading. I think the art just kind of keeps it from really hitting like that optimal level.
Yeah, it's just one of those things where the story carries it more than the art, and you know, and that just works. Sometimes it doesn't work. Sometimes the art needs to carry the story.
Yeah,
like ooh, that's not good, because that's happened tons of times for me. But yeah, I give it. It's a let's go for me as well. I really like the book. I'm excited. I'm like, what the heck's going on? Are they falling into this?
Yeah,
What's the next part leading us to? Because I had no idea this book was like this issue was going to be so, you know, shadow packed heavy. So, yeah.
Yeah, which was a pleasant surprise. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, no, it totally was, because Constantine, when he I'm not like a huge Hellblazer. Like, I don't follow the book, but I like him as a character. So I like when he's on Legends. I know no one else likes that show. I like it. I like when he's on Legends. You know, I like the Keanu Reeves version of him.
Yeah.
I just think the character is interesting to me, you know. I liked when he was in the Injustice comics, like when they leaned into him. So,
yeah, it seems like in the way that Tom Taylor wrote him in this issue specifically, I was like, oh, yeah, he has a Hellblazer like John Constantine book coming like not too long in the future, so I'm like okay, like I might be up for checking that out because of how he's written here. Like I'm like, okay, you seem like you got a handle of the character.
Yeah, that's true. Do you have
sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say like this is one of those things where he's been hinting. You know how he's been hinting the last few weeks. And you're like, oh, what is he doing? Turns out it's the JSA Injustice, like Year Zero, whatever thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But. I was like, man, put this guy on a mainstream book, man. Put him on Superman. You know?
Yeah.
He knows how to write Superman. I mean, he wrote a real evil Superman for a while, but I feel like he gets these characters and, you know, I don't know if he needs to prove himself. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't want to. Like I said, maybe he likes, you know, fooling around with familiar stuff, but like enough to like to change him up a bit. But
To have a little bit of room to breathe. I mean, but I would say even within Injustice, a little bit I've read, like anytime there's like a flashback or any of that kind of stuff, or even in the first three issues of Injustice Year Zero, he really gets Superman though. Like even outside of him being evil, like if he writes him outside of like the current timeline of where he's a dictator or whatever, like he gets it. So I think it's not that far of a stretch for you to say, like, you could see him writing something like that.
Yeah.
I think he could do a team book really well. I think he's shown that with
multiple
times over, you know?
Yeah. Oh, you're going to lead into my, we're going to do a quick stop.
Okay. Let's do a quick stop.
So are we done with Deceased?
Yep. You rated it. I'm done.
All right. Let's get Tom Taylor on Justice League.
Okay. Let's do
That's it.
Do we have that power?
Yes, Justice League like issue right now, 50. Like, hey, let's go comic show episode 150. Justice League comic book issue 50. That was not a good book. I did not like it. It was.
Oh no.
Yeah. I was not happy with it. And all I'm going to say is get Tom Taylor on Justice League.
Was issue 50 this week as well, or was that?
Yeah. And it just.
What do you rate that one?
I'm not going to say it's trash juice because my heart isn't as bad as Chris. But it was a don't go for me. I was like, man, Justice League is a book. Like, it has to be good. You have every guy. You have the main players of DC's, like, you know, pantheon mm-hmm. of heroes, right? Yeah. You got the big seven. It's got to be good. It can't be. You can't phone it in. It was such a phoned in book. And I'm like, cancel it then. Or have, like, I just don't understand where you have a book like that where you don't have a good idea. You don't have someone who's like, ooh, let me throw my best guy on there. Like, yeah. Grant Morrison, like, changed the game for Justice League.
It's true.
It can't ever. That was kind of the whole thing. It has to be the top seven. You know, they have to be there. You can throw other people in there, but these guys got to be there. And it's got to have an all-star team, you know. Yep. And so it just didn't feel like it. It felt like a fill-in. You can't have a fill-in on Justice League, and that's what it is. And I'm just calling it like it is. So that book was a don't go, don't pick it up, and hit me up on Twitter. Let me know how you feel, because I just didn't
King for JL. I mean,
Tom King. Anyone named Tom,
I got
dude.
Them mixed up. Thanks, Twitter. Like,
Tom,
I can't even.
Tom DeLonge from Blink-182. He can write it. He's crazy.
Tom.
He's got crazy,
Tom for JL.
Yeah, he's got crazy ideas about, like, aliens and stuff. Bring him on. I'm here for it. But, yeah, just
Tom
it needs
DeLonge
to be.
For JL.
Tom DeLonge. Can you write JLA for us? Just
save us.
He's all, everything's about aliens. It's a whole story about Superman having an anal probe, though, from aliens.
Oh my gosh, no.
He's all, the bottle city of Kandor was shoved up Superman's butt. Sorry. Anyways, that's what I'm.
So your review.
That's my review.
That's
my review for Justice League.
Get Tom DeLonge on here.
Get Tom DeLonge on here. Stat. All right. So there you go.
All right.
That was my segue. But Matt's picking them today. Matt gets to pick.
I'll do a couple quick ones since I know you haven't read them.
That's what, yeah.
So Undiscovered Country.
Oh yeah, I did not read that.
Issue 7. That's Scott Snyder, Charles Soule, and Giuseppe Camuncoli.
I'm waiting though. Like, I'm wait. It's, is it traded yet?
Yeah, the first okay. story arc is, I believe.
All right, I'm gonna be
that was released. I think last month or a few weeks ago.
I will check it out.
It's so wild. It's so crazy. It's so out there. I love it. This issue was kind of the first issue of the next arc, and so it feels like a lot more setup, which is kind of a good thing because you finally get some background into like what the heck was going on before we jumped into the story. So I appreciate that, and I think it's done in a really compelling way, and it launches us off at the end of this issue in a really fun way that is very much a callback to an earlier, to maybe the first issue. Ends very similarly in a way where it's like, oh crap, okay, like that's another wrinkle. Where are we going with this? But I think it's a fascinating concept. It still holds really strong. The art's a lot of fun, and I just think it's written well. Two great writers doing their thing. It's a let's go for me.
Nice. Yeah, it's one of those deals like, hey, why aren't they working on Justice League?
Scott Snyder was.
I know, like, hey, come on back. He's done. Did you see his interview last week or a couple weeks ago where he's like, I'm done with mainstream superhero stuff right now. I'm done with Batman. Like, not in a bad way. Like, he's just, I want to work on my own things. Like, he's happy to wrap up American Vampire and, you know, what he's doing with death metal and stuff.
Yeah. And the idea for the next, like, run of American Vampire looks awesome too.
Oh man, it does look good. Was that the Raphael Albuquerque cover?
Yeah, it's looks. Like in the 70s or something, right? Like it looks.
Yeah, it picked my interest. I'm like, I haven't read any of that, and I'm like, just that cover. I was like, ooh.
Yeah. Oh man, Raphael Albuquerque, so good. And then another in the Image world, that one I also knew you haven't read is.
I have not read.
Firepower. Chris Samney, Robert Kirkman.
Yeah.
It's
issues 1 and 2 came out today, right?
Yeah. So it's that's an interesting weird. Why thing. Is that? The way well, issue 1 was technically the free comic book day 1, mm-hmm. so you could have picked that up. I picked that up for free like a few weeks ago. And right around the time I think they released that one, they had a prelude like OGN, like a whole like 100 whatever page graphic novel as like the prelude story leading up to where the run like kicks off. So it's been an interesting way. I mean, I kind of like mm-hmm. that they've done something different with how they've launched this story.
Yeah.
And I think by nature of the content and of like what the story's about and with Chris Samney's art, it feels like to me, I haven't read everything Robert Kirkman's done, but it feels like the most like kind of lighthearted, kind of like more enjoyable, mm-hmm. just kind of like fun book.
Yeah.
That I've seen him do, which makes Chris Samney's art like a perfect match for it. I think like he's very like minimalist, very like organic in the way he represents stuff, and to have that in like this mystical like kung fu like fantasy world kind of thing.
See, like, now you're making me want to read it. I'm just like
it's because it's fun.
I still have capacity. I'm telling you, yeah,
like, I think I said this when I first talked about it like a few weeks ago. It's all of the hullabaloo around like casting for Iron Fist for Netflix. There's a real big push for an Asian American actor mm-hmm. to play the part of Danny Rand.
Yeah.
This feels like what that kind of would be. You mix that with like Avatar The Last Airbender and it kind of like, that's what this feels like a little bit, which I'm down with. Like it's definitely still like this like outsider kind of guy, but like it feels like it has a different flair to it. And there's a really interesting wrinkle introduced at the end of issue 2. The cool thing about issue 2, it doesn't ruin anything about the story, but it's like the first, at least half of the book, is a silent fight scene. Like no sound. And where the guy's fighting like a ninja, and they're literally trying not to wake up his family because he's fighting around like the house, like with this dude. And it's such a fun concept, and it's carried off like really, really well. It's like they're fighting in the dark, in the middle of the night, in a house, in like a bedroom, and like fighting through stuff, and like his son's like stuffed animal or whatever, and like he hits the bad guy and it like flies back onto the bed like in the kid's arm. Like it's a lot of fun like little things like that, but then enough like where you're kind of like at the end of the issue you're like, oh okay, here we go, like there's some interesting stuff, like what's going on.
Kirkman can just do like, he's just such a talented writer, like he can do everything, man.
He's really versatile.
Yeah,
really versatile.
And I think he can just throw stuff out there. Like, all right, I'm going to do the zombie thing. I'm going to do the superhero kid thing. I'm going to do whatever Oblivion song was. Like, so he can just do. I don't know, man. I wonder if he has a board. Like, he's got like a spinning wheel.
It's like what? Here's what's my the next genre book? I'm going to do now.
Yeah, the genre wheel of.
But yeah, it's really good, man. I think there's something. Mm-hmm. Like in that realm of like Darwin Cook and like that kind of era of artists like that Chris Samney does that I'm just really like drawn to, and I think is a great combination for this type of story.
Yeah.
Very dynamic, very expressive. And he's teamed up with Matt Wilson again on colors, which I mean, he's kind of been his partner in crime for most of like the last decade, I think. So they've worked out like some really great, I think, shorthand like with each other.
Yeah.
And I think it shows. And it's nice. a really fun book. And I think it's nice to see, not that everything needs to be that way, but I think it's fun to see a publisher like Image and a writer like Kirkman like doing something that feels a little lighter and a little less heavy, a little less dark. Not that those aren't great either. But yeah, I really dig it. And that's also a let's go for me. I think it's well worth everyone's time. I'm happy to see Chris Samney working on a book consistently again.
Yeah, because we were like, is he going to do Shazam? Like, what's because, like, you know, he just felt like.
Just anything. I was like, he could do Superman. He could do. I would do. Like, he posts his warm up sketches on Twitter if you follow him. And they're all like freaking amazing. I'm like, okay, warm-up sketch of Batman where I'm like, I want to see an entire book that looks like that. So,
same. Yeah,
it's a It's a good one. Far Sector also came out this week, but I haven't read that. He could do it, dude. Oh my gosh, dude. That would be a really interesting take on that. but yeah, that's a let's go. Far Sector from DC also came out this week. I got it. Haven't had a chance to make my way through that one yet because of all the other books.
Yeah.
Primarily, I think we have like one more main book to talk about, and it is the book to talk about.
The book. Yeah, man.
The book. Sausage King of Chicago.
The Sausage King of Chicago. I'll say
the
Batman
Abe Froman.
96 real quick.
Oh, before we get to the main event.
Yeah. Just wasn't that great. I don't know. Joker War. I don't understand why DC was like, all right, let's do Joker War this summer. Because we got three Jokers coming out very soon. Very soon.
Yeah, like in a week or two, right?
From Jason Fabok and Jeff Johns. I'm like, we have like the summer Joker story. We don't need this, like, I don't know. I just don't. And it's not very compelling, to be honest. Like, I'm just kind of. And it sucks because here's the thing I was really excited about. They announced Jorge Jimenez is coming to Batman. I'm like, great. He's a phenomenal artist from like,
yep,
from his Justice League stuff, from the Super Son stuff. And it's just, the story's just not good, man. It's just not.
That's too bad. Is it one of those cases where the art can like pull it up a little bit?
That's what I thought. I at least liked looking at the book. Like it looks really good. But
yeah.
Not enough. In this case, it's just not enough. Because I ended up, you know, I ended the book and I'm just like, well, all right. And we talked about this, I think, was it not last time we talked about Strange Adventures, is what, you know, King wrote of Batman in just like the few panels he was there. You're like, this is, not that every Batman story has to be the same. And that's not what I'm saying, but I enjoy a more confident, like, Batman. And King wrote a Batman that struggled, that had some weaknesses, mm-hmm. and that was going through something. But it felt like an earned struggle. This just feels like, why is Batman falling apart again? Mm. You know, and it's not really capitalizing on the stuff King did. It's not really capitalizing much. It's trying to, but it's just going so, I don't know, man. It's like, oh, you know, I was eating this very delicious cake and it was cooked very well. And it has, you know, oh, it's so good. And all of a sudden, midway point, they're like, nah, man, you're just getting pudding. And it falls all over your lap. You're like, well, how did I get pudding on my lap? That's what's going on here. It's just like, whatever. It's okay.
Bad cake.
I just want to wipe it off and hopefully something good comes along, because I'm not feeling it. I think Tynion's a great writer, but I love his Batman and Turtle stuff. I'm not enjoying his mainline Batman stuff.
Mm.
That's all I got to say really about
interesting.
That.
Yeah.
So this book, for me, I'm not saying it's trash juice. Chris already said that. But I am going to say it's just a go for me, man. It's a go. It's like...
Okay, so you're not even giving it a don't go.
Yeah, I'm not giving it a don't go because the art. If it was just the art, it's a gotta go on art. Like... Jorge Jimenez.
That's so sad to hear.
Incredible.
Jorge Jimenez is fantastic.
He's owed more than what he's got right now, is what I'm going to say. I just, and that was the heartbreaking part of it, man. Like, just look at this. Here it is, right here. Here's the issue right in front of your face. But
I see
it's just the cover's kind of whatever. Like, I'm not digging the cover by March. But yeah, the art is just so good, man. Smells, the ink smells great, but. Yeah, the art's great. Like, he draws a great Batman, but it's just, yeah, ain't doing it for me. So, anyway, that's that. It's a go.
Right. So it's a go.
It's a go. So let's move on to better things.
Yeah, speaking of Strange Adventures, let's speak about Strange Adventures.
Man, what a DC-heavy little section we did. We did talk about the Image book.
It is.
Marvel didn't have a lot. I'm not
Marvel
digging Empire.
Marvel hasn't. Yeah, I was going to say, other than Empire, they're not putting a ton out there.
Yeah. So, it's okay. Whatever.
Yeah. Strange Adventures,
Empire.
Number 4.
There you go. Oh, look at that cover, dude.
It's a beauty. Man, that spot gloss, too, that they got going on the cover.
Yeah. That book, dude.
Yeah. So good.
Dude, I was excited for this. I didn't know I was going to enjoy it this much.
I wasn't either, because I loved the first couple issues, and I was like, man, this is like next level. Like, this is great. Like, yeah. I'm into it. And then I still found myself being like almost surprised by how good this was and how excited I was reading this issue.
Yep. Agreed. Yeah, it's an incredible book, and it's more than what they promised, because I think they're like, oh, the next thing after Mr. Miracle they're going to do is Adam Strange. What? Yeah. Oh, and then Doc Shaner's doing it? Okay. That's cool, because he's a good artist. That's weird. They're splitting the duties, and then like, wait, Mr. Terrific's going to be part of this? What the heck is this book? Like,
what
right?
is going on?
It's like, I'm wondering, like, what were you thinking, Tom King? Like, where did you come up with this idea? And then the best part is you get all the little sprinkles of guest stars, which we talked about that last issue with like Batman being in the book, but I don't know. Let's just jump into this.
It definitely felt more prominent this time, though.
Yeah,
like you had these interactions that felt really meaningful, mm-hmm. and honestly felt really revealing mm-hmm. to me. Yeah. Specifically when Adam Strange hits up both Hal Jordan and Superman.
Yeah.
I think it reveals more about Adam Strange than about either of them. Like, in the mm-hmm. way he uses them is kind of a reflection, is really fascinating to me, because you're talking to Hal Jordan, this guy that's like, I'm my own like boss, and I'm, you know, this maverick kind of guy or whatever.
He's a maverick.
But then I'm like, but he's the one that's being like, hey, like, this isn't like possible. Like, I'm sorry, I tried. Like, this is how it is. And for Adam Strange to kind of go off and kind of be like, well, fine then, F you, dude. Like it's not.
Well, but here's the thing. He's desperate. He's like, I've got to get back to my people. I got to get back to my people. And I actually was siding with Adam Strange. I'm like, come on. Mm. These are your bros, dude. You know how Jordan would do it for Barry Allen, right? Like, as I'm sitting there, I mean, especially they really set up the like, hey, they're pals. Like, they're hanging out. There's a photo of them all like hanging out.
Yeah, they're getting a drink. Like, he's got a baseball cap on. Like, who's not comfortable there? Like,
they're pals. Tom King's working the bar.
Yeah, Mitch and Doc Shaner are both like drinking a beer there.
Yeah. So, yeah, yeah.
To have all three of them in there was pretty fun, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, that was. But it was you felt for him, dude. I'm like, come on, Hal. What the heck? Hal's like the hot shot. When has he been to the rules of the Guardians? That's where I was like, man.
Yeah, he like always does, right?
Yeah. So part of me was like a little out of character for Hal Jordan. Where, you know, why are you giving in so much? Like, I wish he would have been a little more like, man, I'd do it. I'm already in so much heat right now. Like, if they at least spun it a little bit, that would have been my only complaint. Would have been like, if Hal would have been a little more like hesitant, like, man, like, even having him like almost suit up, like, how can we make this happen? How can we, man, I'm, you know, I'm already on like in the thick of it, you know, Salak is going to have my head or whatever.
Yeah,
some
that's
kind
interesting.
Of some,
I didn't even think of it in that way. I thought of it as like, knowing what I know about Hal Jordan, I think it's interesting that he's like, hey man, like this may not be like the right call to make. Like, for him to be the voice of reason, I'm like, oh, okay, that says something to me.
Yeah.
Like, for, and I think it gives some interesting shades to the story that Doc Shaner's part of things has been telling. Because it's been this very like stereotypical superhero science fiction, like saying all the right things, doing all the right things, winning the girl, you know, winking at the camera. Like, that's the Adam Strange I feel like we've been getting. And for this one, we're getting different shades within that. And I think that's really interesting. Well, I think you get that with Superman interaction as well.
Yeah. And I think I misspoke about the, it's not a photo of, I don't think he's in the photo. Sorry, I don't have the issue, but there's a photo, and I think it's Hal Jordan and it's Carol.
Yeah.
And I think it's Tom. That's with him, but right? Am I right or am I wrong? It's where he's like mad. He's like, he just goes, "F you, Lantern." But maybe it's because Adam Strange isn't as tight. I mean, I can to make my issue work, because I'm like, I feel like Hal Jordan would go, but maybe Hal Jordan's like, man, I barely know Adam Strange, dude. He's always Zeta beaming out of here. Like, do I want to risk my neck for this cat? Like, which it could I guess be a little bit
you
of that.
Could get that a little bit of that from his interactions with Superman and Hawkman last time. They're like, yeah, we get it. Like, it's fine. So I wonder if he feels like written off, and what if that's something that kind of pushes him more to desperation and whatever weirdness we don't know about yet that's gone on Ran, you know? Yeah. I think if I could touch on the Superman like scene,
which is go there.
Fantastic too. Like, good grief, man.
That was great.
You have, first of all, I think, again, I will just say, check out Superman Up in the Sky by Tom King, because he knows how to write Superman. I think he really, really understands the core of the character. And I think Adam approaches it like really like respectfully and really logically. Like, hey, man, like, this is why I need your help. Like, and you're Superman. Like, this is what you do. You're literally on the moon holding an American flag. Like, we got to, like, there's nothing more iconic than that. And so it's like, please, Superman, I need you.
And he's wearing the kind of modern Adam Strange suit in this scene too, right? Is it? Mm-hmm. It looks a little more like that.
Yeah, like he has like the red face mask, and like the lines on it are a little different and stuff, for sure.
Yeah.
But he's talking about it like, hey, like, this is what you need to do. You need to do for this one thing. And he's like, I don't. Like, I'm actually responsible for everyone, and that means I need to like make the right call. And again, I think we get insight into the desperation of Adam Strange at this point in the story, because he tries to punch Superman in the face.
Yeah.
And that's the funniest. That's the funniest moment in the book, probably, to me. Because all of a sudden, he just Superman's like, Adam, your hand's broken. He's like, you think?
Dude, Doc Shaner draws such a great Superman, too.
Oh, so good.
I'm like, why is he not on a Superman book?
Because he's doing this one, dude. He's
why
doing
is he
the
not
work.
In Justice League? Can Justice League and Tom DeLonge.
Tom DeLonge and Doc Shaner. Perfect.
Yeah. it's such a good scene though, man. Like, and Superman's just like, hey, I can't, like, I trust you, but again, I don't know, maybe it says something about me. I'm frustrated too when you have people that can help you out and they're like, come on, man, you can't get me over to my house, sorry, man, I know you can, you know. It's like, I know you can find your way over there, you're a clever guy, but he's like, yeah, you're gonna die. And so I understand the frustration of Adam Strange.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really do. I'm like, like, it's very easy to understand Superman's POV, but it's also very, like, it's frustrating, especially when he's like, I'm responsible for these people. They're depending on me, and flipping Superman's going, you know, you would think if anyone's going to bend, it's going to be, you know, you're going to tug on the heartstrings of, you know, the Boy Scout guy,
oh, for
right?
Sure.
And he's just like, well, you know, sorry, bro. You'll figure it out. It's like, it's going to be like weeks. It'll be weeks before I get there. Eh.
And
so,
and to see that and to understand like where Adam Strange is coming from in this too, because I think they've done a great job showing this over the course of the series so far that I hadn't thought about much, is his means of going back and forth with Ran is like he's like helpless, like he's at the whim of however long and wherever it happens to happen for the Zeta Beam. Like, he's literally at the beginning of the book in the middle of like this like battle charge and he's gone.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there's a lot of that same energy he's carrying through. Like, he's in the heat of battle almost still, which I think you have that energy for him through this whole book, even with him counting down. It ends up with him counting down to like the Zeta Beam happening. He ends up there, sees like everyone's dead. So of course he feels guilty for it and kind of like, why bother? Like, what am I even doing? Kind of attitude. And that's when Alana is like, no, like, suck it up. Like, this is who you are. This is what you do. They need you. Get in there. She's like the coach, like, slapping you on the butt, like, to get back in the game. Like, which is interesting because I think there's some overlap there with her kind of, like, being, like, the House of Cards, like, Claire kind of character, like, in the background, too. Like, in the modern, the current timeline.
Yeah. No, for sure. Like, I feel like, because we're at issue 4, we're not quite halfway, but we're going to, I feel like things are going to start to be a little more like, you're going to get both, you know, both of the different, like, storylines are going to start to, like, you're going to be, it's going to be a little more laid out, I think, because you saw hints of that today.
Yeah, for sure. I think so. And I think, like, to transition to the other side of the coin for this issue, to the degree that Adam Strange is just this like personification of just like desperation and just flailing and just trying to get whatever he can to get where he needs to go. On the complete opposite side of that spectrum is Mr. Yep. Terrific. Like,
yeah.
And I loved it. Like, Mitch Gerrits yeah. has been saying for a while, like, I'm telling you, you guys, even if you've never really heard of Mr. Terrific, he's going to be your favorite character after we're done. And I'm like, dude, issue 4, and I'm already there.
Yeah, 100%. And I've been, you know, I feel like I've been, because I have a little more, like, experience with Mr. Terrific.
You do.
From my JSA days. And so it's cool. Like, he was never my favorite, but he was cool. He had, like, my respect. Like, oh, here's this new Mr. Terrific. He's the smartest guy. Very smug, you know. He's got his little T-Spears. Mm-hmm. And so, but I liked him. He's like a character, like, oh, I'm glad he's on this book. I'm glad he's in his team. And that, I mean, that's years. I mean, this character's probably been around almost 20 years. I don't know. Whenever those JSA books. Sounds like a long time. I think in comics, you're like, oh, yeah, dang, this character has been around a bit, yeah. you know. And then the Terrifics. I thought the Terrifics book was actually pretty fun for a bit.
Yeah.
With, you know, Shaner was on it for a minute. You know, with, oh, gosh.
Lemire,
yeah. Like, that was a fun book. Like, an adventure book. But the voice wasn't right.
Hmm.
King is nailing the voice of Mr. Terrific.
Gosh, yeah.
Because he is. He's where what Lemire was doing, he was writing him more as very much Reed Richards, very cold, very like, oh, yeah, like logical. But this guy is what King is writing is smart, but also like, I'm not going to back down. And he was just such a badass character.
So like, cool.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, he's smart and he's not going to take crap off people because he is smart. He's like, I got this. Like the whole time, like I was waiting for him to be like, yeah, I know how to translate all this stuff. And it happened. And I was like, oh, it was such a great payoff.
Oh man. What a great moment. Like I think I laughed out loud when I first read
yeah.
it. Like through that part, and I was like, oh crap. He's like, no, actually I translated on the flight over here. Like I'm
yeah,
good.
I learned.
Like, I can help you if you want. But so I'm gonna go ahead and do those. And then I love he's like it shows him speaking it, and then there's that panel where they're just kind of looking at each other.
Yeah.
And then there's the panel where he's like, hey, let me translate. That's
yeah.
He's like, it ain't that impossible. Yeah. Now where are the damn documents? Yeah. Like that's
yeah, well they're setting up like you know this is a whole it's a snow job because from the moment he gets off the plane, like the lady that greets him and she's just like, yeah, we got everything for you. Unfortunately,
yeah,
we don't
and
have
Sardath like can't like meet you and yeah. like stuff like that.
Yeah, and we don't have those files for you, but they're hard to translate anyways, and he's just like, you don't expect it, but I'm kinda like, this is shady, dude. He's gonna be I thought he was, you know, going on some adventure to kind of find the files, but like the fact that he was like, nah, man, I've got everything. So good, man.
Yeah, and I think like you just have so many amazing moments for him that again are kind of like the comedic moments because of like it, like the amount that he moves, like the action for him like is so small, like his mm-hmm. movements are like so minor, like he's almost immobile in most of the panels we're watching.
Yeah,
like he's not breaking a sweat over any of this.
This,
which is crazy, because he wakes up with like all of those like sights on him, mm-hmm. like surrounded.
Okay,
and he's just like yawns and has them taken out.
That scene was like that scene was cinematic right there. I saw it move. Like I saw it. Like oh
absolutely.
That's a cool scene because you don't expect it, and the way like Garrett's made it like happen was mm-hmm. rad, dude. You know, because you almost take the T-Spears for granted. Like you know they're around. They're his little like information like. Pods, you know, right. they help him, and I forget that they can be like offensive at the same time, and that was cool.
It was so good, and the fact that after he takes all those dudes out, while he's like casually getting his suit on, he's singing like that
song,
Ran song,
yeah.
And I love that he's like, this is an effed up planet, but that song is fire. and I'm like, dude, I love it so much.
Yeah. All right.
So much.
We got to talk about this cameo here. So yes. I was like, because when you hit me up, I was like, you didn't catch the cameo? And you're like, what? And I'm like, from the get go, I was like, that's what's his face. That's oh shoot, Parks. What the heck's his first name again?
Randall Park.
Randall Park. That's Randall Park. And I'm reading it as he delivers his lines. Like, he's got a delivery, you know? Like, especially like in the Ant-Man films. Even at the end of Aquaman, I feel like he just kind of has this cadence. And
Totally.
Yeah, and I'm reading it like that, and I'm dying, dude. I'm laughing. I'm like, man, I don't know if... Because it doesn't work. The humor doesn't work as well if it's not Randall Park. It just doesn't, right? So I don't know if that was an instruction from like Tom King that said, hey, this guy has to be a Randall Park type dude, because that makes it so much funnier. It's almost like the old Saturday Night Live David Spade, like, oh, and you are? Like, you know, he wouldn't let people.
Oh, yeah,
you know what I'm talking about? Like the frustrating, like, you're not letting me into this party because, you know, I don't have the right credentials. It's so it was so funny. And then then when he clowns him, it's like, oh, oh, shoot.
Oh, dude. So good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's like the face is perfect, dude. Let me translate that.
And all he does is lean forward.
Yeah.
Like, again, like, I think the economy of movement that Mitch Gerrits has for Mr. Terrific is like a huge part of how this works and why it works. Cause he's kind of standing there with his arms crossed talking to him with the T-spheres behind him. And all he does is he puts his hands on the thing and leans forward and the T-sphere is like in the guy's face. And so he's like,
it ain't that impossible. Wait, what's he say? He's all, it ain't that impossible.
So where ain't that impossible? Now where are the damn?
Yeah.
So I think that, and then I mean one last epic Mr. Terrific moment where he's like, he's calling Sardat like out. He's like, hey, like this is all like all of that curated bowl you gave me, like Adam Strange, Hero of Two Worlds, all that stuff. He's like, sure, whatever. He's like, Mr. High Minister, wonder if you could tell me, where's your granddaughter?
Yeah.
It's like, uh-oh. And so I love even the sound effects on this next page are very different.
Mm-hmm.
So Sardath like slaps him across the face for asking that question.
Yeah.
And it's like a regular size, like slap, like kind of like thing.
It's a standard slap.
You have that close up of Mr. Terrific's face. And then just a huge like slap. And again, like he hasn't moved. Like he's standing up straight, not like exerting himself at all, but it's this giant slap that goes across the whole panel.
Yeah.
And he's like, you dare touch me. He's like, you hit me, I hit you. What the you think fair play means? I'm like, I was like, just stop it there, cut it down there, like we're done, like that's just call it an issue. It was to have fair play be kind of the punctuation on that for him was just like mwah, like chef's kiss. It was wonderful.
That was a top moment. That was a top moment 2020 of comics right there. It really was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like when you look back on this whole comic, you're gonna go, oh man, highlight was issue 4. That was a highlight. Mr. Terrific slaps Sardat. Because it was just cool. Like I hope people, as they work on Mr. Terrific in the future, they really pay attention to how King is writing him, because it is it's good. He's really making him, he's not just a smart guy. You know? He's got some other layers to him. So and I'm interested to see how they, because I feel like they're gonna look into his history and his past a little bit, like with his, you know, like we know he was an Olympian, but what else happened, you know? And we know, we know like his wife is murdered, and you know, and there's a lot of back history to it, but like I think
he had an unborn child.
Yeah. And so how does that, like, imagine being the smartest guy in the world and you deal with stuff like that? Like what, I hope as they're, you know, this was a perfect issue to compare, like, of the just the kind of the contrasts, like he's on his planet, easily gets there, other dude can't get there, wants to be there, you know, they're I feel like they're gonna have a good contrast each issue of like where they are at and their whatever they're, you know, trying to achieve and whatever. Anyways, such a great book, man.
Yeah, man. I love that moment. And then to kind of like, it almost feels like the epilogue of the rest of the issue is Alana again.
Yeah.
And she is just sitting there smoking her cigarette again, just like she was with Batman. I feel like that's like the thing where she's like handing someone's ass to them is like, hey, I'm just going to not even break a sweat. Like, oh, you're not going to break a sweat? I'm not going to break a sweat either. And I'm going to like remind you that, yeah, you're probably not going to be on RAN anytime soon. And oh, look at that. Earth doesn't seem like too great of a space for you right now either.
Yeah.
And he's not fazed by it. He's like, I don't know what you're doing. He's like, but you need to get the hell out. She's like, yeah, I think you should be done now.
Yeah.
And that's it. It's like this like fake cordial like kind of like conversation where it's like, you know, like this is like dripping with venom from her.
Yeah.
Which is so conflicting because it's like, crap, like she's like the main hero's like wife. Like I thought they were like all good and stuff like, and I'm not even going to buy that like she's like bad or she's like the villain or anything either, because I think that's probably too simplistic too.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting shade to her character.
Yeah. Well, she's trying to protect her man, dude. Her man needs protected. Dude. So, yeah. Just,
yeah.
Good book, man.
Always and everything for Ran.
Oh. That needs to be a shirt. Like, Dark Side you know is stuck out to Mr. Me? Miracle. What?
Sorry.
No, I think that's fine.
Always and everything for Ran.
T-shirt. Always and everything.
Print it.
Do it.
No, because I've tried... And honestly, the first three issues, the quotes on the last page from like past like comic book like creators, haven't like connected as much. I was like, what does that have to do with the story? Like, I'm really, and I really try to be meaningful. I'm like, okay, I want to think about it. I want to try to see like, is there a connection? This one was the first one that kind of clicked for me, and I was like, oh crap, that's like a really great quote. So it's Harvey Kurtzman.
Okay.
It's, we had a sense of purpose and superiority only when things were going well. When things were going badly, of course, it all went out the window.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
That fits well for both character stories, too.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Like, I already thought the series was brilliant, and it got more brilliant somehow. Like, I didn't know there was a step above brilliant.
It just got more brilliant.
More brilliant.
Things just got a lot more impossibler.
It's not, it ain't that impossible. Yeah, man, I can't say enough good things. I mean, even specifically the art, like you look at how Garrod's like colors his work compared to how Shaner's coloring his, and I think it's a great contrast to each other, but still works well side by side with each other.
Yeah.
I still feel like there somehow there's just so much just like hope and optimism in Shaner's.
Hey, watch
like,
out
the
watch out there
it.
Watch out there, Jeff Johns.
Oh, sorry, I'm don't want to invoke anything poor, you know, that people are gonna have a problem with, but whatever, like use whatever other terms you want for it, but there is that contrast where there's something, it's fascinating to me, that's like, even aside from the content of the writing, even the actual way the art is represented, like it just you can feel the difference in what those two storylines are doing.
100%. Yeah, it's so good. It's so good. I wonder how these guys get paid. I was thinking that again, just like, you know, he's not getting full page rate like Garrod's. He's working on basically half a story, but there are more pages. This is more than like the 23 standard. It's like there's like 30 something issues here, right? 30 pages, sorry.
I was like, that's a lot of issues.
Yeah, it's a lot of issues, but I don't know. Don't need to answer. I was just pondering it. I was like, how do they break that down? How does that work?
So. I'm going to count it right now.
Right now, Matt is counting the pages of a comic book. You can hear his fingers flip across the floppies, flipping the floppies around. The answer is coming soon. Think about your own comics and how many pages they have. Many, many pages. They've gone through the printing
press. I feel like I counted 27 for some reason. That might not be right.
That's probably right with that cover and everything else. So I may have been right.
I counted 27 pages of story. So not counting the front or back cover.
Well, that's like six more than you get in a standard book. Right now you're getting about 21. Mm-hmm. There was I could have swore there was a book a couple weeks ago and it was like 17. I was like, what the heck happened here?
They're cutting it.
Yeah, I'm shoot like, it could have been, a Bendis book. I don't know. I read Justice. I read Young Justice this week too. Sorry, not that we're going to talk in depth about it, but
should we rate Strange Adventures before we move on?
Yes, let's rate Strange Adventures. What are you giving it? You reviewed it.
What do you got? It's a gotta go. Like I knew that was the first part of my review I wrote.
Yeah,
it's gotta go.
Yeah, yeah, same, dude. It's so good. It was such a satisfying book. It was like there was no issues really, you know. And the fact that we can go—we've probably been talking about it for 30-something minutes—that we can just go so long talking about it. It's so good. It's such a good book. Like if you're not reading this book, get this book. I don't know if why you would have a reservation about this book, but I'm saying
it's incredible storytelling.
Yeah, it's just great. Yeah. If you're like, oh, I don't know about Adam Strange and Mr. Terrific, you will.
I was going to say, I don't either, but I'm loving this.
Yeah, I know very little about Adam Strange. My uncle likes him a lot, and I know he zip-zaps across the universe to fight with the Rands. Typically shows up, fights with Thanagarians here and there. Other than that, I don't know much about him. Wasn't he on the Krypton show? Was he on the Krypton show?
It's got to go. It's a gotta go. It's a gotta go.
Gotta go.
It's a gotta go. So gotta go. And last little thing you're throwing in there is Young Justice.
Yeah, yeah. It was all right. Whatever. I hate Robin Drake. That's all. it was a nice little story. It was like a cleanup. Like all the heroes are cleaning up, and they're connecting with their mentors. And Superman and Superboy fly off, and Batman says something to Drake. It seems like he's pissed, and then Robin talks to some girl who gave him water, and that's it. But I mean, it was a nice because I haven't really paid attention to Young Justice in a minute, and I flipped through it, and it felt nice to read. But
yeah,
every time I
like
the
lineup, I like the lineup on that book. I read it as well. Yeah. I like the lineup on the book. Like I like those characters. It's just there's something about their interactions and stuff that doesn't it's so fascinating to me that like Bendis can write like teenage Peter Parker and teenage Miles Morales and like these other characters, and it feels like fairly natural. And then these ones, like none of the conversations feel natural. Like they all kind of feel forced to me.
I didn't get that at all. Wasn't David F. Walker on this book too? Wasn't it Walker and
Bendis? Yeah, he's credited on this one and maybe a few other issues. He hasn't done all of them. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's because Naomi's in it.
Okay.
Which I want to see more of her character. Her.
Yeah.
Book was great.
Yeah, I didn't feel it was bad. I'm just kind of zipping in there. I'm like, I wish that, you know, I just don't like Drake. That bugs the crap out of me. And no, like, we don't know what the heck Batman says to him, but he says, "Hey, Robin, get over here." He never calls him Drake. They're like, Robin, get over here. Like, Drake is not used.
I just hate that you don't call me Drake.
He's like, "Are you trying to get my identity exposed? Come on."
Yeah.
He's all, "We're being sued by Drake from Canada. Drake is going to sue us."
And right behind Joker him just is Josh and Drake. Like, what is your problem?
From Nickelodeon. Come on. That's funny. All right. Anyways, yeah, that book was just a go. Like, I didn't want to end. I wanted to end strong in Strange Adventures. I was just thinking like, oh, yeah, I read Young Justice. There you go. It's better than Justice League 50, tell you that.
Yes. So any other floppies, or is that...
That is it, man. I think we'll put a pin in it right there. That is... Strange Adventures has got me.
Yeah. Same, man. I've reread it multiple times, and I love it.
Cool.
To look to the future, so in a couple weeks, we have DC Fandom coming.
Oh, yes. That's coming,
dude. And James Gunn posted a little quick
title
card for the Suicide Squad.
It looks great.
It looks fantastic.
I like the other one too though. I don't know why they changed it. It was really weird. Like they've already announced like branding for this movie.
Yeah.
And I liked it. It was very like the old school John Ostrander like look.
That's true. I like this one though. Like I liked like the chunky letters
I like
stuff.
It too.
And seeing in the other like languages and stuff was really cool.
It's definitely, yeah, the other languages is really cool. It was an unnecessary change that's really cool. I'm like, why did, it's just
so
kind
you're
of,
conflicted.
It doesn't
you
always
like
happen.
Unnecessary changes.
I'm really conflicted. I love the yellow and the kind of pink, like, look they had going on, you know, with the blue.
Yeah.
And you know, this is just red and yellow. And I'm okay with it. I like both. But it was just weird. Like, a movie hasn't even been out yet, and you've changed the branding twice. So I'm excited. This is the DC movie I'm really looking forward to. Over all the stuff that's coming out, I'm like, the Suicide Squad. Let me see it. Because I'm just curious, and the stuff I did see that leaked out looked really fun. So the cast looks great. I'm here for it.
Cool.
I don't know what James Gunn's going to do. It's going to be really funny.
Yeah, dude. I'm
can't wait.
I'm excited for it.
Yeah, Fandome's going to be fun. 2 weeks.
Looking forward to Fandome.
Yeah.
Should be good. We'll make sure and have some coverage on that, and we'll keep you guys posted.
Oh, yeah, we're going to have a whole bunch of random coverage. We're gonna do crossovers.
It's going to be good.
Covering things multiple times. We'll see. Anyways, all right, Matt. We got to go, man. It's been a show. We got to go. So, Matt, how can people connect with you?
You can find me on Twitter at Matt Ritchie.
Hey, and you can find me on Twitter at J_Araka. You can find the show at Let's Go Comic Show. But soon that's going to go away, guys. Bye-bye. It's going away. We're just going to have everything under the Let's Go podcast. But we'll keep you updated, all that stuff. It won't go away immediately. But everything will be under like one little roof. One little easy spot to follow. Stay here. Don't leave. But it's all just going to be under there. So you can go to the website, www.letsgopodcast.com, where you can find this show and Let's Go Podcast. And by the time this comes out, you'll also be able to click on the little tab, click on games, video games, because we'll have a little gamer show. So hosted by, you know, Nico and Emmett. And so you'll be able to check that out. And it'll all be on YouTube. But they'll be reviewing games and stuff on the monthly. So check that out if you want to like check out some more stuff that we got. Remember, check out the website all the time. We have reviews from movies and TVs. Nico did a cool Emmy kind of rundown of, you know, all that stuff. If you're into shows, all the TV shows.
Yeah.
He covered it really well. I was like, oh, dang, dude. That guy's got, he knows his stuff. So that's there. Fridays, we do like the beer pairings with some pop culture-y things with Pud. And so much more. So go there and check it out. And then maybe click on the merch tab, buy some shirts. All that stuff helps pay for the show. And while you're trying to be nice and friendly, go to the iTunes tab and, you know, leave us a review. Some words. 5 stars. Love to read those on the show. Make that happen.
Yeah.
All right. That being said, my name is Justin.
I'm Matt.
Let's go.
Let's go.